interpreting for me. And again, I greet you if you're on Zoom, and thanks to those who are coordinating. Today, we're talking about Mary Magdalene. Have you heard of Mary Magdalene? July 22nd is her day as a saint. Mary Magdalene is considered a saint by approximately 1 billion people in the Roman Catholic Church. 300 million people in the Eastern Orthodox Church, and nearly 100 million people in the Anglican Communion. That's a lot of people alive today, plus so many Christians throughout history. Now, whenever somebody gets that many people talking, there's certain to be some misinformation mixed in with the truth about who she really was. So I have two basic questions to help guide our reflection today. Number one, how do we find out who this Mary was, and how is she, and why is she still remembered today? Second question, I guess it's up on the screen, does her life offer any lesson, example, or insight that could be helpful for me today? Like, if I'm going to learn about Mary Magdalene, what does that have to do with my life? So, in order to answer my first question, I choose to refer to the Bible as my primary source. I mean, Mary Magdalene, the only reason we know about her is she was in the Bible, right? So, who is she in the Bible? She is mentioned in all four Gospels. Now, Jesus is mentioned in all four Gospels, and probably Mary and a few others, but there are not very many people that are mentioned in all four Gospels. Mary Magdalene is one. Now, I feel it's important for every Christian to develop a discipline for reading and actually studying the Scriptures. You will always find truths and insights to sustain you, challenge you, inspire you, encourage, correct you. The apostles, the early church fathers, Christians throughout history have all believed that God reveals himself to us as we read and study the Scriptures. We learn about his character, his heart, his priorities. We learn how God related to people and how so many different people in different circumstances and cultures experienced God's work in their lives and in the world around them. Every one of us must develop our own experience, our own insight. We must develop the disciplines so that I must develop the discipline so that my walk with God doesn't depend on somebody else's faith. The Bible always has something to teach us in good times and in a crisis. Paul, the apostle, wrote that together we grow in wisdom and maturity as each part, each person, does their own work. We need each other. And Mary Magdalene is a fantastic example of how to be part of the new family of Jesus. Now, the first time that we read about Mary Magdalene is in Luke chapter 8. See, Luke chapter 8, the first three verses say, after this, so you can go back and read Luke chapter 2 if you want to, or Luke chapter 7 if you want to know. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, last week, Nate taught us about a different woman also named Mary. That was Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. There was a significant story in John chapter 12, where Mary, the other Mary, anoints the feet of Jesus with a perfume called nard. Remember, Nate was talking about the nard he was going to bring and he forgot. Nate took some time with that text related to what he was teaching us. Now, curiously enough, in Luke chapter 7, there is a completely different story, different time, different place, about a woman described as sinful who washes Jesus' feet with perfume from an alabaster jar. This time, it's at the home of a Pharisee named Simon. Now, Luke gives many details in this story, but he doesn't tell us the woman's name. This is unusual because Luke names many women throughout the gospel, which makes me think that if he knew the name, he would have written it down. Anyway, it's helpful for us to know that somewhere in the 6th century, a Roman Catholic pope named Gregorio concluded that Mary Magdalene was the sinful woman mentioned in Luke chapter 7, who washed Jesus' feet with perfume and dried them with her hair. Now, it's a powerful story, and the Pope's interpretations might be accurate, but they might not. Nothing is clearly stated that could lead us to that conclusion. Nevertheless, for centuries, many people have remembered Mary Magdalene as a prostitute who became a saint. Now, there's no way for us to know if she was a prostitute. And the teaching about venerating saints is a secondary topic about which many wise scholars might disagree. I do believe that some people have lived in such a way that we should do, most certainly do, all we can to imitate their faith. However, I find that the New Testament teaches that while saints may surround us, it is our wonderful privilege and responsibility to relate directly to God the Father through our faith and trust in Jesus. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray saying, "Our Father in heaven." We pray in the name of Jesus, our merciful Savior and powerful coming King. We pray in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who is personally present whenever we join our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Now, prayer is powerful, but that's also another topic for another day. What is clear from Luke's writing is that Mary Magdalene, once demon-possessed, was a significant person among a large group of women who had been healed in some way by Jesus. Now they travel with Jesus and the 12 disciples, and they support them financially from their own resources. Now, every other specific mention of Mary Magdalene by name comes from the various gospel accounts of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And I want to read a few examples. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 56, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, this is when he'd been hanging on the cross at his crucifixion, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, now, this is a dramatic reading, and it's interesting who is present witnessing these things. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now Mark, in his gospel, says this, chapter 15, verse 45 to 47. When Pilate learned from the centurion that Jesus had died, he gave the body to Joseph. Not Joseph, the father of Jesus, but a man named Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body from the cross, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. John, in his gospel, writes this, chapter 19, verse 25. During the crucifixion, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. A lot of Marys. And I want to read one more text. I think this is very powerful. They're from John chapter 20, and it's long. It's 18 verses. But I want to read it to you. And just, you can read along, or you can just listen. Imagine this. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He must have been afraid at first. Who wants to walk into a tomb? He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then those two disciples went back to the place where they were staying. But Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb, crying. Very significant. I'm going to come back to that. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, there are a few other texts from the Gospels, but I will not read them now. What we have just reviewed already is really incredible. So many people in the history of the world have heard of Jesus. Yet how many were actually eyewitnesses to his death, his burial, and his resurrection? Mary Magdalene was one. This woman from a small town of humble people This woman who had suffered much from demons and undoubtedly from neighbors had come to a most uniquely heartbreaking, earth-shaking weekend of desperate sorrow as she watched Christ die, to a place of overwhelming, inexplicable, incomprehensible hope and joy. Jesus healed her. He taught her. And then he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried right in front of her. Yet on the third day, he rose from the dead. Who was there? Mary Magdalene, for one. And Jesus said to her, "Go and tell my disciples." Now, why does she matter to me? What can I learn today from her life about following Jesus? Well, I liked reading, the studying, and comparing, because our biblical literacy, our capacity to study the scriptures, and our Christ-centered spirituality are connected. Also, much of the popular legend about Mary Magdalene is simply speculation and invention. The simple truth may be all we need to know to continue to grow. Mary did the hard work of following Jesus when he healed her, but also when his choices hurt her and she did not understand, like his choice to go to the cross. Mary stood at the cross. She stayed true to the one who had restored her life. She was among the last to leave him when he was buried and among the first to return to care for his broken body. And in her suffering and loss, she found buried treasure, literally. Remember when I said Peter and the other disciples saw the linen? They looked at it, and they went back to the place that they were staying. Mary was present with her grief. And maybe that was the secret to allowing her to see the angels and to meet Jesus. As she was present with her grief, Jesus appeared to her. In her saddest moment, at the breaking of the dawn, when the world was asleep and the disciples filled with sorrow, Mary leaned into the tomb so she could care for the body, and she found the risen Lord. In her darkest night, Mary did not despair or surrender her faith. She got up early and went out in the strength of what Jesus had done for her. Mary Magdalene was among the first witnesses. Since the earliest times, she has been called the apostle to the apostles. Who can doubt that women have a voice that should and must be heard at every level of leadership and in every corner of the world? Mary, do not be afraid. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Tell them, "I have seen the Lord, and he will meet you in Galilee, as he said." Well, what about you? Where and how has Jesus met and transformed you? Mary was conditioned by her early years to believe and feel certain ways about herself. Her connection with Jesus transformed her. Your connection with Jesus is meant to transform you. Now, on Friday nights, we're watching a series called The Chosen. And I think they do a masterful job. And I wish every one of you could watch it, either here with us or in the comfort of your home. I'm watching it for the second time. And at first, I didn't even want to watch it. I didn't want to watch another movie about Jesus. But then I loved it. It's free. It's available in many languages. It's a truly compelling presentation. But you can come on Friday, and we're moving ahead to this Friday night, the next couple of sessions. It's not a movie. It's a series. So we're like in season 3, and we're watching 2 episodes on Friday nights. Mary was a troubled soul. She was a social outcast. I'm guessing that she's possessed by 7 demons. Yet she became the first in a list of grateful supporters. Without her financial support, the ministry of Jesus might have been different. A woman tragically possessed by multiple demons, without hope, without help, without healing. Yet Mary discovered a new life, a new beginning, a fresh opportunity. Now you may not be fighting with demons, but you might be. Not everyone believes in demons, but I do. Usually in our Western world, they're not easily seen like in the movies. But they enter into our lives as depression, violence, pornography, addictions, abuse, intellectual pride. When we keep dark secrets in our life, we're permitting a place for a demon to hide. But no demon has any power or place unless we choose to allow it or unless we fail to resist. James chapter 4, 7. James, the brother of Jesus, said, "Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, knowing Jesus, walking with him in the group of disciples helped Mary move from a place of physical suffering, emotional chaos, social rejection, financial ruin, and spiritual darkness to a place of purpose, hope, joy, and love. Mary became a productive person and a financial supporter of the disciples and Jesus. She found her own voice, and she became the first person to see Jesus shining with light, almost unrecognizable, and hear his voice calling her by name, Mary. Jesus knows your name. Do you hear him when he calls? Do you see him standing before you? This is not a game of virtual reality. This is real life. This is Mary Magdalene calling across the centuries, speaking to you and to me. Jesus is risen. He's coming to meet you. He's calling your name. Whose voice do you hear? Who do you choose to believe?